Hebrews chapter 9. I have a lot I want to cover. So we're just going to go down through these verses and make brief comments. Let's read verses 1 through 12, Hebrews 9. Speaking of the law, the first covenant had ordinances or ceremonies of divine service or toward God in a worldly or a physical sanctuary. There was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the, he's talking about the actual temple. I wish I had that model up here, but we don't. But there was a tabernacle made, and into the first part of that tabernacle that was the candlestick and the table, the showbread, which is called the sanctuary, the holy place. And after that, after the second veil, the tabernacle or the room, which is called the holiest of all, the holy of holies, which had the golden censer, incense, and the ark of the covenant, overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden, inside this ark was the manna, pot of manna, Aaron's rod that budded, the tables of the covenant, that is the Ten Commandments of law. And over that ark was the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. And now when these things were thus ordained, the priests, common priests, went always into the first room, first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second, Holy of Holies, went the high priest alone, once every year, and not without blood, but which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifies, that showing us that the way into the holiest of all, heaven itself, was not yet made manifest or clear, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was, this first one was a figure, a symbol for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect, as pertaining to the conscience. Now, these things stood only in meats and drinks and different washings and carnal ordinances or ceremonies imposed on them until the time of Reformation. But Christ, being come and high priest, and we've been looking at that, the great high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not a building, and neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, heaven itself, having obtained eternal redemption for us. All right, you know, go back to verse 1. It says, now, there was a worldly sanctuary, a physical building. First, it was a tent until the people of God got to Israel. And then there was the temple that was built by Solomon. Okay, a worldly sanctuary. All right, but now down in verse 24, it says, Christ is not entered into a holy place made with hands, but into heaven itself. And he goes on to give the things that were found in the temple. Verse 2. And all of these, as most of you know, are symbols, types, shadows of Christ himself. So there was a tabernacle, verse 2, the first room wherein was the candlestick. That was the light. The only light in that temple was that candlestick. It's seven candles, remember. Seven, the number of perfection. That's Christ. Christ is the light. Scripture said, He said, I am the light of the world. Christ is the light, perfect light. In His light, only in His light, do we see light. What light? The light from the knowledge. We quote that a lot, don't we? It always comes up. If you have any light on any subject, it's through Christ. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the person of Christ. He's the candlestick. Oh, He's much more than that, though. He's the sun. That first candlestick gave a little bit of light, as much light as it could give. Christ is called the Son of Righteousness. All right. Then there was a table and a showbread. Verse 2. The table and the showbread. On the other side of the room was the showbread. What's that represent? And every day was fresh bread. The priests, the common priests, went into this room. And they would bring fresh bread every morning. Daily bread. And I'm a common priest. Or not like these fellas in robes that take your confession. You know that. You're a priest. Ministering about the things of God. But it's my job to bring bread. To preach Christ, the bread of life. Daily. Every time. Serve the bread. Like I said, I'm a short order cook. Daily bread. Christ is that bread of life. He said that, didn't he? I am the bread from heaven. And now that's called the sanctuary. That was in the first room. You walk in the first room. And there was a candlestick and a table of showbread. All right? And then there was a veil. Great, tall, vast, heavy, thick veil without seam, woven through and through. And that veil separated this room, the holy place, from the holiest of holies. All right? And verse 3 says, after the second veil is called the holiest of all. This represents heaven itself. All right, there's a veil that separates us and heaven itself, doesn't it? I mean, a veil, this veil of this life. And but beyond that is heaven itself. We dwell in the temple of God. We minister about the temple of God, which is the church. The church. This is the outer court. But, you know, the veil, when Christ was on the cross, was rent in two. We can see with the eye of faith into heaven itself. That's what Stephen said when he was being stoned. He said, I see the Son of Man standing at the right hand of the Majesty on high. I see him. Right there he is, the high priest standing in the Holy of Holies right now. I see the ark, Stephen said. I see the mercy seat. I see the blood on the mercy seat. I see the high priest standing there, ever living, to make intercession. I see. But back then, there was this, there was still this great big veil separating the outer court from the inner holiest of holy. And in that Holy of Holies, verse 4, was the golden censer, the incense. Somebody took that in there, the high priest. He had that, and it was put on it sweet-smelling incense, spices of all sorts, which represent the prayers of the Lord Jesus Christ. The prayers of the Lord Jesus Christ. His intercession. And the high priest would take that incense into the Holy of Holies, beneath the veil, into the Holy of Holies. Right? That is in there. And read on. Then in verse 4 says, and inside was this golden ark covered with gold, this ark of the covenant, this vessel this of mercy, this this box wherein contained three things. It had the manna, the bread, the pot of that miraculous manna. What is it? Manna, what is it? That miraculous manna that came down from God to sustain the life of His people. Aaron's rod, that rod which the Lord used to do so many things, part the Red Sea and so forth. The rod that budded, fruitful, ever-living rod. And then there was the tables of the covenant, the law. What is all that? You know what that is. That's all speaking of Christ. He's the ark of the covenant. The gold represents His purity and His majesty and His royalty, golden. And Christ is the bread. Christ is fruit under our God. Christ is that rod by which the Lord rules and judges and so forth. And He is the keeper of the law. And then it says in verse 5, over that were the cherubims of glory. The Lord told Solomon, through David, his father, to erect, to carve these cherubims or angels which stood over the ark at all times, and their wings touched each other. Two angels over top of that ark, and their wings touched each other, and always over top of that ark of the covenant. What is that? Well, Peter wrote in 1 Peter 1, verse 12, speaking of the things of Christ, he said, which things the angels desire to look into. The angels. In Isaiah 6, holy, 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 the angels say, is the Lord God of hosts. The angels in marvel and wonder and praise and glory look upon the Lord Jesus Christ in all His person and work. And then it says, verse 5, there was a mercy seat. He said, of which things we cannot now speak particularly. And if I stopped to dwell on this, that's as far as we would get. But that'd be all right, wouldn't it? The mercy seat, that covering over top of the ark, was where the blood was poured. Every time the high priest went into that holy of holy within the veil, he always went, never went without blood. And he went and he poured that blood on the mercy seat. And that mercy seat, well, that's Christ. And Christ is the mercy of God. All right, now, verse 6 says, now when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. Common priests, sons of Aaron. Okay? Levites. And the sons, and there was, they did this. But now, verse 7, into the second, into the Holy of Holies, went the high priest alone, one man. Read on. It says, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself. He was a man. No woman, but a man. This man. All right. Into that second or holiest of holies went the high priest alone, by himself, once every year. And he didn't dare go in there without blood, or God would have killed him. Never go in there without blood. He offered it for himself and for the people. All right, verse 8 says, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, signifies that the way into the holy of all, the holiest of all, was not made clear yet. As long as that first temple was still standing, the tabernacle was still standing. The scripture, the Holy Ghost tells us that then, that the way was not yet made clear, because they kept doing that, kept doing that. You remember Brother Dan Park's message here on the only high priest who sat down? And he, in his meticulous, careful way, he added up, actually added up all of the sacrifices. All the priests and all the sacrifices over the years until Christ came. And it was an astronomical number of sacrifices. Millions of sacrifices. Rivers of animal blood that was shed. Year after year after year. And there were daily sacrifices too. And everybody that came had, you know, they had any kind of issue, sin issue, they had to come and then bring the sacrifice, blood. So there were rivers of blood and millions upon millions of animals killed. And not needlessly, mind you. The people ate that food. God's not a monster. That was good. But and then the high priest went in there every year to make that great atonement, the Passover. High priest, alone, one man, went in there every year. Every year he kept doing it. Every year, every year. The Holy Ghost showing us that it's not finished. It's not finished. Okay? Showing us that, you know, this is not putting away any sin. It's not, he wouldn't keep doing it if it put it away. Right? Yeah, I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but you know what the Mass is? The Mass, they practice it every, and I think Episcopal religion practices the Eucharist, which is another form of the Mass, and what that is, and they make no bones about it. They say this is the actual blood of Christ. That the priest, when he blesses it, it actually turns into the blood of Christ. It's a big word for that called transubstantiation. All right? People went to the stake and were burned at the stake renouncing that. The early martyrs and early preachers of the gospel were burned at the stake by Catholicism and pagan religion because they renounced that. They said, no, that's not the body of Christ. That's not the blood of Christ. It was shed once. They went to the stake and they were literally killed for telling the truth. That, no, we don't offer His body over and over and over again. No man has in his power to forgive you your sins or to go to God for you and offer up anything for the forgiveness of your sin. There's one man that did that. Jesus Christ. And when He did that, and that's what this whole book is saying. I mean the whole book. I mean Genesis to Revelation. But the Hebrews especially goes into great detail to show us there's one man who went into the heaven itself for God's people with one sacrifice that alone could put away sin. And that's Jesus Christ. And He did it. He did it. And I'm getting way ahead of myself. But that's all right. A bomb might drop. One man. And men died, and women died refuting that stuff. And it's still going on today. The Mass. A lot of people are ignorant of what the Mass is, but that's what it is. They say it actually turns into the blood and the body of Jesus Christ, and that the priest administers it to you. No. Even in the table that we observe, the Lord's table, I don't give that to you. I don't take the cup and put it to your lips. I don't break the bread and put it in your mouth those priests do. I don't do that. The Lord said to His disciples, you take it and you eat it. Then drink this. It's by faith we take it. I don't administer anything. Right? I tell you who does. The Lord. The Holy Spirit Himself is the one that gives it. All right, where are we? Hebrews, chapter 9. Verse 9 and 10 says, all this was a figure, or symbols, shadows, types. Shadows and types. Verse 9. Offer gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertained to the conscience. You know, those priests were very, very fearful that they did everything perfectly. You know, in a sense, there's a great sense in which we want to do what we do here in the fear of the Lord, and as it should be, according to the Scripture. Yeah. But there was great fear, because God would strike a man dead back then if it wasn't perfect. Verse 10. But these things only stood in meats and drinks and washings and carnal ceremonies that were imposed on them, that God told them to do until the Reformation. That is, until Christ came and took away the first to establish the second. All right? Now here it is. Here's the good news. Here's the gospel. But Christ, verse 11, Christ being come and high priest of good things to come. Scripture says of Christ, lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. Every bit of these things, as we've already seen, represent the Lord Jesus Christ. In the volume of the book, every line upon line, precept upon precept, points to the Lord Jesus Christ, who was to come and fulfill all of this and offer one sacrifice forever and put away sin forever by the sacrifice of Himself, and thus fulfill all this, proving who He is and putting away the sins of His people. Verse 11, Christ came a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle. That's Himself. That's Himself. A body. Christ said, a body hast thou prepared me. Went in the temple in which God Almighty, God was manifest in the flesh. Like this temple, Christ is the bread, is the light, is His prayers. He's the ark, He's the covenant, He's the rod, He's the manna, He's all things. And He came with a body, a man, a greater and more perfect tabernacle. That first tent that Moses and they carried through the wilderness, that's just a temporary thing, wasn't it? Huh? When they got to finally the promised land, Joshua and then Solomon, as we said, built the temple. All right? Now we've got a permanent temple. No, sir. It was torn down twice. Remember, Ezra, Nehemiah, Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel went and rebuilt it, which is a picture of Christ also. But that first temple was torn down, then they built another one, Zerubbabel, and in 70, and our Lord came. Remember, the Lord, the messenger of the covenant, Christ shall suddenly come to His temple. Well, He came to that earthly temple. Remember? Remember, we just studied that. He came to that earthly temple that Solomon, well, that Zerubbabel rebuilt. And walked in there and then walked out, cleaned it out, and walked back out. And His disciples said, isn't this a beautiful temple? And the Lord said, not one stone will be left standing on another. Don't marvel at that temple. Marvel at me. I'm the rock of ages. I'm the top stone. I'm the foundation, and I'm the top stone, which is Zerubbabel, Christ Himself, cries grace, grace unto it. And that Holy of Holies, Christ Himself, tabernacled among us, and then went back to the Holy of Holies, and He sat down. We still have a temple, a tabernacle, not made with hands, but that is to say, in the heavens itself. The heavens itself. Look at it. That's verse 24. Look down there, verse 24. It says, Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. All right. Now, verse 11. He says, not a building made with hands. And verse 12 says, neither did He go in to the Holy of Holies by the blood of calves and goats. But it's not possible that the blood of calves and goats put away sin. But it says He entered into heaven itself, the holy place, and what He did was He offered up His own precious blood. His own precious blood. That's what Peter called it. His own precious blood. His own blood. Verse 12. His own blood he entered in, and it says he obtained eternal redemption. Eternal redemption for us. Who's the us? We've already been looking at that, haven't we? The whole letter, the whole book is written to the holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. The people of God. Israel, spiritual Israel. He did that with his own precious blood. He didn't, it says that he obtained eternal redemption. It doesn't say he put down a down payment. No. It doesn't say he did all he could do and now it's up to you. Obtained is obtained, isn't it? Finished is finished, isn't it? Accomplished is accomplished, isn't it? He obtained. The price was paid. Redemption was accomplished. Sins were put away. We sing that song, Full Atonement. Can it be? Oh, yeah. It not only can be, it is. Hallelujah. What a Savior. For the people of God. Verse 13 and 14. We'll quit here. It says, now, if the blood of bulls and of goats and ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, and it did something. It helped somewhat. Back then, the lepers were actually clean, but sins weren't put away. But verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, without fault to God, blameless, how much more shall the blood of Christ purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And that's what I was just referring to. Men and women go through countless rituals and ceremonies and masses and cleansings and fastings and the Lord's table and Lent. You know, it's this time of year of Lent, whatever that is, where you give up something. That's what it is. You give up something. And Ash Wednesday, I ran into a woman one time. She had a smudge on her head, you know. And I said, you got dirt on your head. Said, oh, no, it's ashes. I started wiping. She said, no, don't do that. Don't wipe my ashes off. What? Ash. She says, Ash Wednesday. She couldn't believe I didn't know what Ash Wednesday was. Well, she doesn't know who Christ is. And I told her that. I sat down with a scripture and showed her. Show me where it says that you put ashes on your head. Where you do this or where you do anything. I'll show you where Christ, and I did, showed her where Christ finished it, did it all. Where you look to Him and Him alone. The people going through all of it, dead works. Dead works. Any works done to think of appeasing God and pleasing God, and God is looking at this and well pleased, and He's marking down and we're scoring points, and He's going to let us into heaven if we get enough merit badges. Establish our righteousness. That's what Paul wrote of, didn't it? Going about doing things to please God. There's one man who pleased God. The Lord is well pleased, Isaiah 42 says, for His righteousness' sake. For Christ's righteousness' sake. God accepted everything Jesus Christ did, accepted it on behalf of His people. We're accepted in the Beloved. His works were our work. You see, it's not by works of righteousness which we did, but His works of righteousness that God accepted. You know that. Everybody doesn't know that. And how blessed you are if you do. Everything else is dead works, ceremonial things, even the law. Try to keep the Ten Commandments. I love the law of God. I don't want to have another God before me. Do you? I don't want to take His name in vain. Do you? Steal, all of these things. Do you? I don't want to
I want to remember Christ, the Sabbath. I do, don't you? That's the law of God. It's holy, it's just. But I've broken all those things. And you have too. In thought, in word, and deed even. But Christ didn't. Christ didn't break one of them. He's without fault. That's what that law in that box represents. It's covered up, sealed. You can't get to it. It's kept. For all eternity, it's kept. That's Christ. The keeper of the law, the holy, the blood covering the law that we broke. But you see, the law even is dead works. Try to keep the law. Paul said this, and I quit. He said, the commandment which was ordained to life, he said, I found to be unto death. It slew me. Now you tell me, if when you hear the commandment, if it doesn't kill you. Huh? It just kills me. Oh, I'm dead. Does it? Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not covet. That's idolatry. God said covetousness is idolatry. Wanting something you don't have. Who is not guilty of that? Who is not guilty of idolatry? Of making a God, of paying more attention to things than God? Who is not guilty of that? Huh? Killed me. Just slew me. Well, there's only one thing that will salve your conscience, that will purge your conscience. There's only one thing that will cover a guilty conscience. One thing. There's only one thing that would cover that mercy seat. Only one thing that would cover, atone, cover the sins of God's people.
None.
One thing. I'm guilty. Ah. But the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth that. He said there in chapter 8, in the end of that chapter, he said, their sins and their iniquities I will remember no more. Now how can God not remember something? Only if it's gone. It says, the sin, the iniquity of Israel shall be... You love this verse, don't you, John? Listen, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought, and it won't be found. Why? It's covered. It's covered. The all-seeing eye of God is one thing you can't see through it.
Blood.
Then why do we keep preaching blood? Why do we keep preaching Christ? Because this is a message for sinners, boy. Guilty sinners. I'm never going to quit saying that. And we're going to be praising Him throughout eternity for washing us in His own precious blood from our sin. Okay.